Good morning, everyone. To wish to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who sets us free from prison. How many of you have ever been in prison, living in prison? In sin prison. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. The title of the message is Truth and Freedom, and I was just really blessed by the Sunday school lesson and the outlook that Joseph had, even though he was living in physical prison. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to talk about truth and freedom. And we're going to read verses, start out with verses 31 to 36. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Brother Ron, in his prayer, thanked God for our freedom of religion, our land of freedom. We are able to come together this morning without fear of the authorities breaking in on the service. I just want to say it's good to be here with you all this morning again. We had a beautiful drive this morning. There was areas where it was cloudy, you couldn't see the sun, and then after a bit, there was some, through the haze, there was some sunlight shining through, and then it got brighter and clearer as we came up along the lake. It was just beautiful. I was just thinking how life is like that. Sometimes it's a little cloudy, and then other times the sun is shining brightly. But if we have God in the forefront of our lives, as Joseph did, no matter whether it's cloudy or sunny, we can have freedom in our lives. The Jews said here in this passage that they are Abraham's descendants and they were never slaves. So what do you mean we shall be made free? And Jesus was telling them that whosoever committeth sin is a servant or slave of sin. So anyone, he's saying, who is living in sin is a slave to sin. And only Jesus can free us from this bondage of sin. Just a little bit of history. On July 4, 1776, 13 colonies declared independence from the rule of Great Britain. The Declaration of Independence included this phrase, that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states. And we know this as marking the beginning of the country that we live in. Later on January 1st, New Year's Day of 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was issued by President Lincoln. And this was over the debate on slavery in our country. And this proclamation declared that all persons held as slaves are and henceforward shall be free. So the United States of America today is known as the land of the free, the land of prosperity or opportunity. as people can better their lives and ultimately have freedom. And I'm thankful today for the freedoms that we have in our country. We are privileged, especially with the freedom of religion that we have. But the point that I'd like to make with this morning is the fact that many people today in this land of the free are living in bondage. Because, brothers and sisters, true freedom is freedom from sin. That is true freedom. To find true freedom, we must be open to the truths in God's Word. And when the truth brings conviction of sin in our lives, it's only through confession and repentance that we can find freedom from the guilt and condemnation of sin. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let's look at the life of Onesimus for a little bit. You can turn your Bibles to the book of Philemon. And there's only one chapter in this book, but it's an interesting story about a slave to Philemon, and his name was Onesimus. We're going to start, we'll just read most of the chapter here in Philemon. "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, whom in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly." I'm not forcing you to do this, to take Onesimus back, but he's saying, I want you to do it willingly. "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, and that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." We'll just stop there. Let's just take a moment to view this story from Onesimus's point of view. He was living in bondage, in slavery. But he was in bondage not because he was a slave to Philemon, but because he was living in sin. And when he ran away from Philemon, because he wanted to be free. He was chafing at this bondage of slavery. But yet he was not free. He was still in bondage to sin. Then he met Paul, who pointed him to Jesus. And Onesimus found true freedom when the blood of Christ cleansed him from his sin. Then he was truly free. You know, when Onesimus went back to Philemon, even though he was going back to serve his master as a slave, he was still free because he was free from sin. You know, before he found this true freedom in Christ, Onesimus was not a profitable servant. I don't know the details. It doesn't say a lot of it, but he probably complained whenever he was told to do something. And when he was commanded to work, he probably didn't do more than he positively had to. Or he tried to get out of work wherever he could. And he had a bad attitude toward his master. And he just wanted to get away. He might have even stolen from Philemon. I don't know. But think of the change that took place when he found freedom from sin. He was a different person. He no longer had to be punished because he worked willingly. Philemon, to him, was no longer a harsh master that he hated, but rather he was a brother in Christ, someone he loved and someone he wanted to please. What a change, what a difference true freedom made in Onesimus' life. And what a difference it makes in our lives when we find and claim the true freedom in Christ. I think of the prodigal son. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 15. And we'll read verses 11 through 20. This is Jesus' story of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man, Luke 15, verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, this is when he recognized the truth. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The prodigal son thought that he was living in bondage. At home, there was rules that he had to follow. He had to work to earn a living. He said, give me my inheritance so I can just use it. And I won't have to work anymore. I'll have plenty of money. To him, going away from home and just living it up looked like a life of freedom. That was freedom to him. But when he finally came to himself, he recognized the truth that he had sinned against his father. He was up against ran out of his resources. His inheritance was wasted. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. And what a glorious reunion that was. So many times we can look at the world around us with longing eyes, thinking what glorious freedom it would be to live like that. But yet it's not freedom. It's bondage. To find true freedom from sin, first of all, we must believe in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's our natural tendency to justify our sins by comparing ourselves with those around us. We're not as bad as that person. At least I don't do this or that. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we can never win the battle over sin on our own. It's only through the power of Christ that we can find freedom from sin. No amount of resolve or determination alone will work. We must believe in Jesus and rely on Him for our Redeemer. The second thing to find true freedom from sin is we must be a disciple or follower of Jesus. It's more than just believing in Him, it's following Him. John 8:31 and 32 again, Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Continue in my word, what does that mean? It means to be a disciple of Jesus, we must live according to His teachings. We must live according to what He taught us and the example that He left us. Sometimes it involves forgiving those who trespass against us. Recently, I read in a devotional meditation some thoughts about the passage in John 13 where Jesus washed His disciples' feet. It was a long journey on a hot day with dry, dusty roads. And they came in there to the upper room to the Passover, and no one offered to do the job of washing each other's feet. That was their custom. It was the servant's duty to do this. And it wasn't just a servant, it was the lowest servants in their custom that was the one with the job of washing the guest's feet. And Jesus took up the opportunity to do this for His disciples. Now think about this. As He's washing their feet, He's washing Peter's feet, knowing full well that He's going to deny Him three times. He's washing His disciples' feet that He's knowing full well is going to run the other way when He comes into the trial. And then He gets to Judas, and He washes His feet, knowing that He is going to go and betray Him that very night. Think of the forgiveness that it took to do that. Forgiving others is a part of finding freedom. So many times, I don't know how it is for you all, but this is the way it is for me sometimes. We like to blame our circumstances and other people for causing us to sin. And if anybody had a reason to blame his circumstances, it was Joseph. What a testimony from his life we can take. It's when we deny ourselves that we can find true freedom. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Jesus is the part of finding true freedom. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants for my life. Joseph committed his life to God. And even when he was living in prison, we talk about this in our Sunday school class, he was really living in freedom. He didn't see the walls around him as prison walls. He was living in freedom, even when he was held as a prisoner, for something that he did not do. You know, we all have a selfish and carnal nature that we struggle with. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Paul talks about this struggle with his carnal nature. Romans 7, starting at verse 16. He says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. When we no longer want to live for ourselves, when self is no longer on the throne in our hearts, and Jesus is on the throne, it's then that we can be freed from the law of sin and death. It's when we die to self and live for Jesus that we can find victory and freedom from sin. I'd like to read a little poem called The Parable of the Kite. Some of you may have read or heard this poem already. I thought it was interesting. There once lived a girl, so faithful and true, with so much potential, so much she could do. Her favorite pastime was spent in the park, flying her kite from dusk until dark. Her father had built it, a bright, sturdy frame. It seemed to hold up when the strong whirlwinds came. It had a long tail, and what joy it could bring as it flew through the air, tightly held by the string. Her father had warned her to hold on quite tight. The trial of the wind could put up a big fight. This daughter grew restless, just watching it fly. She wanted to see it soar deep in the sky. One day she decided that it wasn't fair to punish this kite and to hold back the air. The kite deserved more than the same point of view. If she just let it go, it could fly away too. Because she was struggling, life was so hard. She longed for the freedom to let down her guard. Rules and commandments were causing such strife. They just held her back. There was so much more to life. In just a brief instant, she cut off the string. She took a deep breath as the air caught the wing. It spiraled, it turned, and quite soon she had found her precious kite mangled and crushed on the ground. She then heard her father, his voice calm and true. "My child, these commandments are given for you to help you and guide you and keep you afloat, just as the string has preserved your invaluable kite. I love you. I need you. You're precious to me. If you keep my commandments, they help make you free. Free to fly high, free from the sorrow. Free to awake without guilt for tomorrow. My daughter, please know that I'm sending my love. I'll guide you, I'll hold you with strength from above. As I hold your string, I won't let you down. I promise in heaven that you'll get your crown. It's written to a daughter, I know, but I think the message of this poem applies to everyone here this morning. I think we probably can all think of times where we've chafed at rules and commandments or whatever it might be. But they're there for our good. I'd like to think this morning of the kite as being our life. The kite is your life this morning. And the string is the law of God and salvation through Christ. The wind is the world around us with every wind of doctrine, with fads and fashions and so on. And I'd like to think this morning of the tail of the kite as being the rules and guidelines of the church. They are not our salvation, but they help to keep us pointing upward and to glorify God, and helps to bring stability in our life. How is it with you this morning? Do you chafe at the string, the things that hold you back? Or do you have true freedom in relying on God and His salvation? Back to John chapter 8. In verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He says, "I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. You're descendants of Abraham's, but yet Abraham is not who, the God of Abraham is not who you are serving." In verse 39, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." And he goes on to say, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe in me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Satan wants to hide or twist the truth about freedom. He is a liar, and he's the father of it. He will paint the picture that freedom is found in pursuing and satisfying the carnal desires of your flesh. Just go and live it up, and you'll be happy and free. But that's a lie. And it's a lie that leads to destruction. Just like cutting the kite string will cause it to tumble, falter, and fall and crash to the ground in destruction. That is how it is with Satan's lie. Brothers and sisters, the burden that I have this morning, especially for the youth, surrender your hearts to God. And if there's anyone here this morning that is hearing the call of God on your heart, make that choice to find true freedom from sin. And if you're struggling with maybe your parents or the rules of the church, and you feel like you're living in bondage because you can't do whatever you want, just remember that true freedom is not freedom to do what I want, but true freedom is freedom to live above the carnal nature inside of me and freedom from sin. You can turn in your psalm books. We're not going to sing it. I'd just like to read the words in Zion's Praises, number 748. In closing, we'll read this song. It sums up the thought of freedom. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator. An emancipator is someone who sets a slave to freedom. Now and forever he shall be mine. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters. Chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Freedom from all the carnal affections. Freedom from envy, hatred, and strife. Freedom from vain and worldly ambitions. Freedom from all that saddened my life. Freedom from pride and all sinful follies. Freedom from love and glitter of gold. Freedom from evil, temper, and anger. Glorious freedom, rapture untold. Freedom from fear with all of its torments. Freedom from care with all of its pain. Freedom in Christ, my blessed Redeemer. He who has rent my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom. Wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Again, Jesus the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. Let's kneel for prayer.